Let's begin our live coverage in Sonoma County with KCBS's Jeffrey Schaub. Jeffrey?
Susan, I've been making my way up Highway 101 trying to get into Santa Rosa. I spoke with 16-year-old Michelle Martinez.
We had to leave. We had to get everything and just leave. And when we were coming out, we saw a bunch of trees on fire. Everything was crashing down. The McDonald's and the Taco Bell close by were catching on fire. It was really bad. By now, I probably lost my house.
We understand that the Kaiser Medical Center in northwest Santa Rosa has at least a partial evacuation going on at this time. Reporting live in Sonoma County, Jeffrey Schaub, KCBS.
Let's go live now to Napa, where thousands of people, it would seem, have evacuated and have headed where? Here's Tim Ryan.
Well, Stan, every evacuee that I've spoken with has a harrowing tale to tell. John Campbell lives near Highway 121 in Napa Road in the Sonoma area.
I woke up, saw orange in the bedroom, and looked out the back window and fled. This shirt was given to me by a kind gentleman here. I didn't have time to put a shirt on. I got pants on and just grabbed the dog and fled. Yep. Jumped in the truck, left two vehicles behind and a motorhome.
Now, his place, he says, nearly surrounded by fire. This facility here in Napa, Crosswalk Community Church, is quite crowded. Nurses and doctors are walking through the crowd of an estimated 300 to 400 evacuees, checking their respiration and otherwise consoling them as word spreads of the severity of this series of wind-whipped fires.
I'm here off of Fountain Grove Parkway, which is just east of the downtown area of Santa Rosa, and it's up on a hillside, and there is a large development here of what I presume are luxury homes and some condominiums. And this entire area looks, I hate to say, like a war zone. These homes have been leveled. Other homes are completely engulfed, and CAL FIRE is over there, and they're trying to get these flames knocked down. There are gas lines that are on fire that I can see, and entire rock walls have just toppled over because of the intensity of this heat.
The latest we're picking up is in the community of Glen Ellen in Sonoma County. We have KCBS's Todd Smoot standing by in that area. Todd, tell us what you know.
Well, Stan, things have gone from bad to worse here. They've just announced a mandatory evacuation for the entire community of Glen Ellen. The scene here, if you haven't been to Glen Ellen, it's a small town, sits in a bowl. It's surrounded on three sides by hills. All of those hills have fire on them. Homes have been destroyed. And now the town itself is in danger. I'm now in the Sonoma Developmental Center grounds. And what that is a large facility that houses severely disabled folks. The fire has jumped over to the eastern portion of the facility. So what has happened here is a line of sheriffs and CHP vehicles have pulled over. The officers have jumped out of their cars. I counted at least 12. And they are helping the staff move these folks in their wheelchairs across Arnold Drive up out of the area that is potentially threatened into another group of buildings that are a little bit further to the west.
The Atlas Fire continues to threaten and even destroy some Napa Valley wineries. KCBS's Doug Sovereign reports from the fire lines near Yountville with that part of the story.
I'm on Silverado Trail in the Stag's Leap area just outside Yountville, and the fire is still raging out of control here. It is roaring down this ridge from east to west, pushed by these gusting winds. I can feel the heat of it on my arms and my face. You can hear the snap and the crackle as these towering flames just gobble up trees and brush and even some homes on the hillside here above me. They're moving toward the vineyards on the valley floor. The sky is black with choking smoke. The sun is blood red where it pokes through, and the fire has jumped Silverado Trail. There are flames burning in some of the vineyards now down on the valley floor. There are heavy bunches of purple grapes here. They were supposed to be picked this week. The harvest is underway. These are Cabernet Sauvignon, I think, ready to pop. And now they are shrouded in smoke with a backdrop of orange flame visible through the vines. A lot of winery workers have scrambled out of here running for their lives, but a few have come back because the vines and the furrows are acting as a bit of a fire break, slowing the flames in some spots. So they're hoping to salvage things before everything is gone. Jade Barrett is the winemaker at Ladera, which is just up the road here. He cannot believe he's watching the fruit of all his labors go up in smoke.
Surreal. The wind has just kicked up and all you can see in front of you is burning flames, flames that are moving now here to very little time. I'm thinking it's time to leave.
Let's get out of here. You can feel it. I mean, you can feel it on your arms. You can hear the roar of the flames in there.
Oh, you can feel the warmth for sure. This is crazy, man. It's jumped the highway now, so let's pack this up.
Let's get out of here. See you. Take care.
Yeah, this is not safe anymore. We're going to move back away from Silverado Trail. I can see at least one winery here just gone already, up in flames. Sheriff's deputies did roll through a little earlier, ordering everybody to evacuate. Some people have been ignoring that order, but I'm going to need to fall back away from this out-of-control fire coming down from the shoulder on the northwest side of Atlas Peak. In the Stags Leap area, Napa Valley, Doug Sovereign, KCBS.
Jeffrey, you're at the Kaiser Permanente Hospital, where they've been moving patients out?
Yeah, for a couple of hours now, Stan. This facility is right off River Road, which is less than a mile away from the main fire and several hundred yards away from a mobile home park that is on fire. They've been bringing people out of here for the past couple of hours, a line of paramedics units coming in and gingerly taking patients out and putting them on gurneys and wheeling them into the back of these units and then heading them south on 101. When I was coming up northbound on 101, there were just dozens of paramedic units that were trying to make their way through traffic, presumably to head down to Novato, where there's a big hospital, down into Marin General, and who knows after that. Now, I spoke with a gentleman named Ron Dodds. He came up here to check on his uncle. His uncle's okay, but he kind of painted a picture of what's going on up here.
I came to come get my uncle up off the hill, but he's actually out of town, so he's safe. So we came to take a peek. We came up on the parking structure over there to see what was happening, and like I said, the entire mobile home park is ablaze, but the firefighters seem to have it under control at this point. They're at least trying to fight it away from the hospital.
Right, so it's right near the hospital.
It's right behind the hospital.
Right behind the hospital.
Yeah, it looks like hell on earth.
Breaking news on the Bay Area's news station, KCBS.
Chaotic and unprecedented words being used in the North Bay this morning to describe a massive fire situation. The city of Santa Rosa, Susan, apparently the hardest hit.
We're in West Santa Rosa, Rebecca, at the Finley Center. I'm here with Austin, who was evacuated early this morning out of Glen Ellen. Can you tell us the harrowing experience you had?
We had to drive into the flames. There were flames on both sides of the road, right up to the pavement. The wind was blowing over the road. It was like driving through a broiler. You couldn't see anything. Then the smoke got so thick, and you couldn't turn around. We couldn't hit the brakes. We were worried about rear-ending the car in front of us or being rear-ended ourselves. You know, you couldn't see 5 feet in front of the car. It was so bright. It was like being in a space shuttle, re-entering the atmosphere. It was so hot. We looked at each other in the backseat of this car, and we're just like, this might be it. And you couldn't see anything. It was just nothing but light and smoke, and you just hoped the road was underneath you. Everywhere we looked, every hillside was burning. There were branches and trees falling and embers exploding everywhere, and we couldn't see the car behind us. You could barely see the car ahead of us. Sometimes it would disappear. Sometimes you could see the taillights. We all got separated and met up about an hour and a half later, but it was nerve-wracking every minute, just hoping the next car showed up, because we were certain almost that somebody wasn't going to make it, but fortunately everybody showed up and was accounted for. It was the scariest thing that ever happened to me.
Behind me to the east, the sky is all orange, created by the flames below, and west of the highway in front of me, a large plume of black smoke. A number of structures overall between Santa Rosa and Calistoga. This is one big fire, and it stretches that entire distance. A number of structures have been burned or destroyed. We don't have any specific numbers, and there have been injuries, folks. I can't tell you any details about that. I spoke with Amy Head with Cal Fire. She said they're doing the best they can.
We have all sorts of different fire agencies from Sonoma County and all throughout the state, and as you can hear, more are coming in. So this fire and a lot of other fires started almost at the same time last night. So we're battling multiple large, major fires.
We're sitting here in a broadcast studio in San Francisco. I've been doing this here for a long time. I have never smelled smoke indoors in San Francisco the way we're all feeling it this morning.
Well, the smell of smoke has been so strong that overnight a lot of people panicked and thought maybe the fire was in their neighborhood when they were in San Francisco.
KCBS reporter Curtis Kim joins us live from downtown Santa Rosa, where many structures are total loss. Curtis?
Well, Rebecca, part of the massive destruction could be summed up at the corner of Fountain Grove Parkway and Mendocino Avenue. On one corner, what used to be the Hilton Hotel, reduced to rubble, and the apartment complex is on the hill behind the structure, still burning. In fact, I could look over and still see the flames. Catty Corner to the Hilton Hotel. The Journey's End Mobile Home Park, completely gone. 57-year-old Kathy Johnson woke up this morning to flames. She has lived at the Mobile Home Park for 7 years.
I looked out the window, and the whole area around here was glowing red. And so I woke Frank up and told him, come on, we got to get up. There's fire all around us. They're evacuating us.
Now, most of the Mobile Home Park sits in ruin, totally burned up. And as for the Mobile Home residents who have been displaced, most of them say they have no idea where they're going to spend the night.
People who live on Atlas Peak Road in Napa, near where the largest of this week's wildfires erupted, are finally getting back in today to see what's left of their homes. KCBS reporter Doug Sovereign joins us live from Atlas Peak with one family's heartache. Doug?
Rebecca, Heather Tiffey is sifting through the ruins of her parents' home here at 1871 Atlas Peak Road, hoping to find her mom's jewelry or something that survived this inferno.
Anything that hopefully maybe something of sentimental value that happened to get hidden under something would be fantastic. There's 20 plus years of memories here that be nice to salvage something.
This two-story Italian villa was incinerated. Nothing left but the terracotta roof tiles and a mountain of rubble and ash. Her dad, Brian, a lawyer, lost four decades of work.
I had a fire safe. It split open from the heat. It actually, the metal at the corner cracked. Consequently, the heat, if even no flames, just vaporized everything inside it.
Nails exploded out of the frame of the house. They're stuck in the melted pavement like darts. The engine block at his truck is a puddle of melted aluminum. Brian was taking his grandkids, Heather's kids, home at the time of the fire. He walked back in against orders to save his sleeping wife and their dog.
They're just swirling tornadoes of fire, and that's what he walked through.
Brian says he's no hero. Heather, of course, says he is. She's grateful both her parents survived, even though so much of her childhood is gone.
It's the memories that are attached to the things. A song came on the other day that I used to play on their piano because I grew up, that's the piano I learned on. And so that was a kind of a moment, it's not the piano itself. Who cares about the piano? It's all those memories and my mom asking me to play.
Moonlight Sonata was the song. One she says she will never hear again without thinking of her father's heroics and the heartbreak in all this rubble. Live on Atlas Peak Road in Napa, Doug Sovereign, KCBS.
Thank you, Doug.
A cane in one hand, Jim Flint stumbled around the remains of what for more than 40 years he called home.
I saw you come out with a few items, not much.
No, a couple of ceramics.
He carried those figurines that his wife collected and a burnt handgun that his grandfather had given him long, long ago in a Korean War Navy helmet. A similar story for this renter a block or two away. Not much to retrieve.
Ceramic tile, tea kettles, and pots.
John Peterson is one of eight FEMA-trained chaplains on hand to lend a hand to those seeing their place for the first time.
To come and offer emotional and spiritual support for people that find themselves in chaos.
One couple, he tells me, drove up to their property too stunned to even get out of the car. Santa Rosa police checked IDs as people entered Coffee Park and as they left. Protection against looters, although in this neighborhood, there's really nothing to loot. In Santa Rosa, Tim Ryan, KCBS.
One home after another on Atlas Peak is simply gone, incinerated. So Louie and Kelly Revis assumed theirs would be too. But when authorities finally let them back in, somehow it was still there.
The house itself is okay, and it's amazing.
A miracle.
It is a miracle, and other people have said that. It's just, it's beyond understanding. It burned my fences all the way up to the street. It didn't burn my house down.
It also torched his entire yard, his backyard workshops, 9 of his 12 Harley Davidsons, and 2 of his 3 vintage cars. His 87 Corvette literally melted, and his 49 Oldsmobile is toast.
You know, it's just stuff in the end. Even that, which I'd spent a lot of time on.
His wife, Kelly, is simultaneously stunned that the house survived and heartbroken for her friends.
Disbelief and sadness for our neighbors. It's a little bit of survivor guilt, I guess you call it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we're really blessed that there wasn't more damage.
Their 1941 Cadillac Fastback, a black beauty, is unscathed. And somehow the flames painted on the front of that Oldsmobile were not touched by the real flames that burned right up to their front steps.
When the fire came roaring over the mountains above Calistoga, Derek Webb, owner of Triple S Ranch, summoned his workers and said, "We're staying. Grab a hose." Within minutes, they were encircled by flames.
It came over that hill right there, firestorm. You'll see the burnt line all right there. Then it backed off and went around like this, came up here, went up on top of that mountain, came down here, then came into here. It's burnt all the way down there. Then it came up this ravine. We stopped it there, and literally 100-foot flames came right down to there. So throughout the course of the night, we were just going from one corner to the other to the other.
Fighting fire with rakes and wet blankets to smother swirling embers.
Literally, we started with garden hoses. We got a pump rigged up, and we drained a big hot tub and a swimming pool, and we were filling up that. So we effectively had our own fire truck.
If worst came to worst, they agreed the nine of them would jump in the swimming pool since there was no longer any escape from the 12-acre ranch that Webb had spent years restoring.
During the course of the night, there were probably, you know, four or five times I thought, okay, is this the punch that takes us out? About 4 o'clock in the morning, huge fireball came over this mountain. It had to be 100 feet high. And I just knew if the wind had shifted, we were toast.
They kept up the fight until 9 in the morning when they realized they had saved this historic destination for weddings and retreats. Then Webb went up the road and saw the two neighboring resorts incinerated.
You realize you were a razor edge to the edge. You could have just been on the other side. Forgetting what you did to defend it, what have you, luck, all sorts of other things. Just to see Mayakama's mountain home at zero, that could have been us, and it could have been us at any point at night. And I wasn't prepared mentally to go there, and it wasn't until I saw those things that I realized how close we were. I've cried more in the last 3 days than I've cried in the last 10 years, and I cry a lot.
Near Calistoga, Doug Sovereign, KCBS. 10:30, Sunday night, October 8th. Dave Levy, whose group Paradise with Purpose owns and runs Mayakamas Ranch, a 250-acre retreat center, sees the Tubbs fire race over the ridge to the north.
We knew that that fire was approaching so quickly that we had to get out of there.
He shot video on his phone, which also captured Levy packing up to get out.
It's coming right here. It's increasing by the second. We don't want to wait 10 minutes.
Heroic chef Miguel knocked on the doors and evacuated our guests. We literally left with minutes to spare.
There were 18 guests in the resort's cabins.
So I knock every single body's door and tell them too that we need to get out of here. Get out of here, get out of here.
Longtime chef and ranch hand Miguel Islas made sure everyone got out alive.
Everything was so fast. I mean, it was so quick. We have no time to do anything.
He drove out through a wall of fire, sure each moment might be his last.
Fire everywhere. My car windows are really, really hot. I thought they're going to explode in any minute.
I took Islas back to Mayakamas Ranch to find nothing left.
I don't know. I have no words to say this, but I feel like part of my lab is gone.
It looks like a bomb fell on the land, and there's no craters, but it's completely incinerated.
This was where Islas lived, where he cooked amazing gourmet meals for guests. His home and workplace of 15 years gone.
It was so beautiful. My small house, my kitchen. So my life was Mayakamas. It really was.
Islas also lost his life savings, which he kept in cash in his room. Levy says Miguel sacrificed everything.
Miguel is always thinking about others before himself, even when there's not a fire. So it's just who he is.
I don't really consider it myself. I'm a hero. I just consider this like a human being trying to help some other people.
This was a paradise built in the caldera of an ancient volcano. A week before the fire, Islas had a recurring prophetic dream that the volcano came back to life, burying Mayakamas in lava. A nightmare that came all too true. Levy is determined to rebuild something even more beautiful to help the land and the people hurt by this fire regenerate. And Islas hopes to help.
I have my life. That's the most important thing in the other people's lives.
Doug Sovereign, KCBS.
A memorial bell rang 42 times for each of the people who died in the North Bay wildfires. And then it rang once more for the missing. The ceremony moved from somber to proud as Santa Rosa Fire Chief Tony Gosner asked every first responder in the audience to stand.
I have never been more proud to stand shoulder to shoulder with all of you during this unprecedented time. You did it with courage. You did it with humility. You did it with empathy and compassion. I'm so proud of each and every one of you for what you do for the community. Thank you.
Before the event, North Bay Congressman Mike Thompson gave Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and other colleagues from Washington a tour of the fire's destruction. He said all the government agencies he's asked for help recognize the gravity of the situation here.
This isn't the first disaster I've been through. I've never seen it work as smoothly as it's working right now. The state, the federal, local government, everybody's coming together. Everyone recognizes that this is a top priority.
In Santa Rosa, Jenna Lane, KCBS.
San Jose firefighters are conducting boat rescues of an entire neighborhood near San Jose's Happy Hollow Zoo area after heavy rain caused flooding there. KCBS's Mike Colgan joins us live from the scene with the very latest. Mike?
Rebecca, water levels here have come up significantly in just the last hour. I've been looking at two cars here as a barometer. An hour ago, the water was up to the door handles. Now it's up over the driver's side window. Dozens and dozens of residents have been rescued by firefighters using a variety of boats. Ben is one of them.
We weren't prepared for this. Rose pretty quick, and we just grabbed like anything that we can and then just got out of there. Extra pair of socks, you know, sweater, whatnot.
San Jose Fire Captain Mitch Madlow says this is one of the largest flood rescue operations they've ever conducted.
The neighborhood is underwater. It's about 4 feet deep right now. The water has come up about a foot since we first started operations here. Because the water is contaminated, people are being taken out by boat to a decontamination corridor where they're being deconned. They're being assessed by EMS, both from county ambulance and from San Jose Fire, and then they're being sheltered right here to my right. They will end up being taken by bus to an evacuation center. We're in the process of setting that part up right now.
This is the Nordale neighborhood near Kelly Park and, as you mentioned, the Happy Hollow Zoo. As bad as it looks right now, it's only expected to get worse. Highest water levels, I'm told, are not expected till later this afternoon. Live in San Jose, Mike Holgan, KCBS.
All right, thanks a lot, Mike.
It's 5:03 at the Bay Area's news station, KCBS. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jeff Bell.
I'm Patty Rising.
And this is Mike Colgan in San Jose, where firefighters have spent the better part of the day doing water rescues of residents in this flood zone in the Nordale neighborhood near Happy Hollow Zoo. San Jose Fire Captain Mitch Matlow.
We've removed a total of 246 people from their homes here. We're estimating there's about 480 to 500 individual units that we took people from in this area that have been adversely affected by floodwaters.
Yeah, some people here, like Gabriella, lost a lot of their possessions.
I know we lost a lot of photos. I had a lot of my clothes down there from the winter that I like to storage. I know I had a lot of shoes. I had all my baby's toys, all of his stuff down there. We had a lot of, like, appliances, like plates. I know we had a couple electronics, like a computer screen.
The water from Coyote Creek came up so fast that people here only had time to just grab a few things.
Mike, do we know how long some of these people might be out of their homes?
Well, you know, I was just talking to a veteran firefighter about that, and his answer was really shocking. The answer is as long as up to a year. First of all, he said the water has to be pumped out. Then there's possible structure and wiring damage. And then there's maybe water that got in behind the sheetrock, so all the sheetrock has to be pulled out. Carpets have to be removed, etc. So when you add all that up, it's going to take a while.
Hundreds of protesters are marching and chanting in Berkeley this hour against hate. As KCBS's Scott Lettieri reports live from Civic Center Park, there had been some sporadic breakouts of violence. Scott?
Yeah, there's been a pattern emerging here at Civic Center Park, Jen. It's now the hundreds have turned into thousands. And as more anti-hate protesters march into the park from the city and UC Berkeley, they identify a Trump supporter or a white nationalist or sympathizer, they think, and shame that person. It happened just a few minutes ago.
All right, there's a guy with a Trump flag on his back. He's just been chased out of Civic Center Park by a couple of hundred anti-protesters.
Go back that way. Don't get behind us.
Okay, sorry. That was a police officer telling me not to get behind the police presence. They're at the checkpoint right now. About 200 anti-hate protesters have surrounded this Trump supporter, and now they're chanting in his face. Uh-oh, they're coming right toward me now. A bunch of people being pepper sprayed. All right, these look like Antifa types. Oh, there's a fight breaking out right in front of me right now. Uh-oh. All right, police coming in. They're moving in right now.
This looks like anarchist Antifa types. A guy in a sweatshirt and a mask and a black flag. Now he's moving away from the situation. A little pepper spray coming my way. I'm going to try to get out of here, Jen, but things now are turning violent.
A memorial grows on the steps of City Hall in honor of the first Asian-American mayor of San Francisco, Ed Lee, who died unexpectedly of unknown causes at the age of 65. Dr. Susan Ehrlich of Zuckerberg San Francisco General.
And we attempted life-saving measures for several hours. He died at 1:11 a.m. on the morning of Tuesday, December 12th.
Board of Supervisors President London Breed has been named acting mayor by city charter. She is the city's first female African-American mayor and is remembering her predecessor.
He was a dedicated and committed public servant, and I will never forgive him for that.
San Francisco has had two female mayors, both coming to power following mayors' deaths. Now Senator Dianne Feinstein replaced George Moscone when he was assassinated in 1978. City Attorney Dennis Herrera explains Breed has all the powers and responsibilities of the mayor as acting mayor.
The Board of Supervisors votes on a successor should they choose to do so, although they are not required to do so.
Regardless, there will be a special election in June of 2018 to elect someone to serve the remainder of Mayor Lee's term through January of 2020. There will also be a mayoral election in December of 2019. The flags will fly at half staff in Mayor Lee's honor for the next 30 days. Margie Schaefer, KCBS.
Former San Francisco Mayor and Assembly Speaker Willie Brown has been working the phones all morning following the sudden death of Mayor Ed Lee. Brown says Lee was at a San Francisco Safeway store last night when he collapsed.
He was shopping for doing his family duties. He never really gave up being the husband and the father that he had been all the years that he had worked in public life. And so it was not unusual for him to buy the family groceries. And he had a massive heart attack.
Again, Mayor Ed Lee pronounced dead this morning at Zuckerberg SF General. Brown says while everyone is still numb with shock, he is confident San Francisco will be okay. The city charter calls for the president of the Board of Supervisors to be sworn in as acting mayor.
The city is designed to do exactly that, and London Breed will bring that same leadership.
Brown says Lee leaves behind a legacy not only as the first Asian-American mayor of a major American city, but also he was instrumental in moving San Francisco into the future with landmark projects like the Salesforce Tower and the Warriors Arena. In San Francisco, Matt Bigler, KCBS.
There will be public memorials for the late mayor both Friday and Sunday, but there's already a growing tribute on the steps of City Hall. It is literally covered with flowers, bouquet after bouquet, left by grieving San Franciscans. Among them, prominent attorney Chris Dolan. We spotted him sitting among the flowers to read some of the messages and the obituaries left here by mourners.
I felt like if I sat down for a moment and read them, it's like spending a little time getting to know him and just sort of being with him as I read about what he's done and accomplished.
It's not just flowers on the steps of City Hall. There are teddy bears and fruit and 49ers caps, a sign that says Mayor of the Mission, and a lot of written tributes, including a note that says San Francisco needed you, heaven needs you more. Bonnie McGregor was taken by surprise by this outpouring of love for a man many thought was a great guy, even if they didn't always agree with his policies.
It's a picture of humanity, and I'm glad that it's here because it speaks to what I think a lot of us are feeling right now, is that we need to step forward and be more human, kind, sensitive, empathetic.
At San Francisco City Hall, Doug Sovereign, KCBS.
KCBS reporter Margie Schaefer has now reached the area near that UPS building. Margie, what can you tell us from where you are?
Well, I can tell you that it's quite chaotic. I've actually been moved back because there is an active crime scene, we've been told, and I can see a tactical van now just pulling up. I'm at Utah in Mariposa. It is quite a scene here with, I can't even count how many fire police ambulances here. As I was running toward the scene, I saw people running with medical equipment toward the building saying, we've got four or five more. So I don't know what that means, but that's what I heard. At this point, we are waiting for a briefing from the San Francisco Police Department. As you have mentioned, this is the UPS Distribution Center on San Bruno Avenue. This is near Highway 101, south of downtown on the west side. Actually, I need to pull back a little more because we've got a couple more San Francisco Fire Department vehicles that are pulling in to go a little bit closer to the scene at this point. So we know that there is a shooter. As of a few minutes ago, it was an active situation. We're still awaiting the details. So best to avoid this area. That includes all the streets of Utah and San Bruno and Mariposa, anything around this UPS distribution center, just steer clear at this point. I did see a number of UPS employees a little closer to the scene, and then there's also another staging area a few blocks away, and you could definitely tell that the people who were closer to the scene saw something horrific. There was one woman who was sitting down on a curbside, just shaking in her brown uniform, smoking a cigarette, giving her side of the story to police. Other people were hugging in their brown uniforms, offering support to each other. We're still awaiting all the details in this developing story. Live in San Francisco, Margie Schaefer, KCBS.
Thanks, Margie. Our aerial view lets us see a few other details here. A line of ambulances on one of the cross streets next to San Bruno Avenue there. Also, Susan, I'm not sure we can adequately describe what we saw. A large black vehicle on San Bruno where there's a big garage entrance into the ground floor of this UPS building.
It was a black vehicle stand, very boxy shaped, and there was something attached to it that neither of us could really determine what it was, whether it was a battering ram or ladders of some sort, but a very odd-looking vehicle, and that may be the tactical vehicle that Margie was referring to.
We can also tell you the traffic on Highway 101 in both directions is flowing right by the building as if nothing was going on down below. That's the elevated stretch of Highway 101 there passing the UPS building. We will continue to follow this story as developments occur and details become available.
Damn, this traffic jam. How I hate to be late. It hurts my motor to go so slow.
Big damn, delays through the valley still. Westbound 580.
It is heavy in the maze.
280, 680, 101, North 280.
Oh, it's a big fat mess. It's just like Los Angeles.
Camden's Gregoire Pearson commutes up to 3 hours a day each way between Modesto and Concord. She drives to a commuter bus, to BART, to another bus.
Get up at 3:30 in the morning. I get home around 6:37 at night.
And you start at 3:30 in the morning?
Yes. I think it's crazy.
She couldn't afford a home in the East Bay, so she and her husband and daughter packed up and moved to Modesto.
You either have to live far and pay for a reasonable housing, or you have to pay expensive housing and you live near your job, but you're paying all your money towards housing.
A big reason why the freeways are so jammed.
It's frustrating because the traffic is getting worse. You know, it's just getting worse and worse and worse, and no one is commuting really together, so it's kind of like one person per car. It's just become so congested. It's miserable.
Gridlock, up ahead, there's a line of cars as far as I can see. 75% of Bay Area commuters drive alone in their cars. 130,000 people commute into the Bay Area from what Jeff Belisario at the Bay Area Council Economic Institute calls the Northern California mega region.
They're coming as far as Sacramento, coming a lot from San Joaquin County and Tracy. The big draw there is an affordable quality of life.
Deborah Pleasanton Station, is this the end of the line?
Samer Rawajda drives from Tracy to the end of the BART line in Pleasanton, then takes the train to his accounting job in downtown San Francisco. That's 2 hours each way. Why?
When you work in the city, you feel you are part of something. It's like you're in the heart, like, you know, the blood flowing. You enjoy working in the city. In lunch hour, when you go out, everybody going out to eat. So you feel you're part of something big.
Others take the ACE train from as far away as Stockton to San Jose. Most people who work in San Francisco don't live there.
The Mint feeds big rolls of metal into the side of the machine.
Don Penning works at the U.S. Mint, a fortress that towers above Market Street. He and dozens of his co-workers share van pools from Sacramento, Sonoma, in his case, Tracy. They leave the house at 4 in the morning. Because any later,
it's a parking lot. You know, you get up in the morning, you see all the brake lights going up the hill, you just sit there, and it's a parking lot. I don't have a lot of quality time with my family when I get home from work, cook dinner, clean up a little bit, get ready to go to work the next day and go to bed.
Why does he do it?
I got a house big enough to raise the 3 kids and they can have their own room and not be surrounded by the concrete jungle.
So the people who mint your money can't afford to live closer than 2 hours away.
What do they call that? The super commute. I'm knee deep in it.
Does it feel super to you when you're doing it?
Not at all. It feels super congested.
Joanne Jamera gets up at 3 in the morning to commute from San Joaquin County to South San Francisco.
It's a sacrifice you gotta do. As long as I get home safely to the family, it's all good. It's worth it.
Damn, this traffic jam. Time I get home, myself will be good.
Doug Sovereign, KCBS.
To kneel down on Taylor Street, Kat steadies herself on the parked car between her and the needle she's after. She's got pneumonia, and bending like this leaves her short of breath.
I've used heroin for 25 years.
She always carries a sharps container, but reaches out with a bare hand to pick up someone else's needle.
No child should ever see any type of drug paraphernalia or, God forbid, touch it. It's just inexcusable.
Kat made sure almost no one could see her heroin habit for decades.
I mean, no one except my husband and my dealer who delivered my drugs to my front door.
And heroin didn't end her career in management and consulting. Hepatitis C did. Dr. Andrew DeRusso is an infectious disease specialist whose work on Hep C and HIV led him to addiction medicine at Tenderloin Health Services.
So if you look just out this window, I can look from my office and see people actively injecting drugs every day.
Like Kat, he wants San Francisco to offer IV drug users what's called safe injection.
Nobody wants to do their dope on the street in front of people. You're at risk for getting arrested. Kids come by and see you. Nobody wants that. If nothing else, it ruins your high after you do it. You know, they want a safe injection facility.
So it's essentially a place that they can be removed from the public and safely inject. If they overdose, that overdose, if it is with an opiate, can be reversed by trained medical staff.
Board of Supervisors President London Breed wants a task force to study safe injection.
I lost my younger sister to a drug overdose, and my brother still suffers with addiction. I know addiction can impact anyone, and I know how painfully difficult it is to get better. I can't say safe injection is the answer. It may not be, but I know we can't be quiet anymore. We can't hope the trouble goes away.
Vancouver has had safe injection since 2003. Seattle is taking steps to follow. After years of dismissing the idea, San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee says he's now keeping an open mind.
I will continue to learn about the effectiveness of safe injection services. We must thoroughly assess whether the public health and safety benefits outweigh any negative impacts.
In the next part of our series, we hear from neighbors whose steps are littered with needles.
Thinking of who lives in the neighborhood and how would that affect everybody in the neighborhood, as long as that's considered in the plan, then that's a good thing.
With a KCBS special report, I'm Jenna Lane.
At the Chrysalis Foundation studio on a narrow alley near 5th and Folsom, Chris Forster designs and plays one-of-a-kind original acoustic instruments, like this one, the glass dance, and a rotating circular harp called the chrysalis.
This instrument is tuned after my voice. I listen to my own voice, the intonation of my own voice, and then I tune instruments in favor of that.
But as condos and office towers began to rise around him, it got harder and harder to hear what he was doing.
The main sound is hammer. Every guy on the block had a hammer.
Simple hammers soon gave way to something far more invasive. Forster and his wife Heidi say it became impossible to work.
When you're dealing with very fine acoustic sound and fine acoustic music, you have to have a space of complete quietude.
That they did not. So they launched a Kickstarter campaign to soundproof their studio, raising $36,000 in just 6 weeks. They filled in skylights, built thick new walls, and sealed their space against the sonic gentrification that surrounds them.
This has always been a sanctuary, and it's even more so now. You step in and close the doors, and the modern world, the busyness, the craziness ceases, and it's once again a place for discovery and for creative and artistic pursuits.
It was a miracle. Very simple.
In San Francisco, Doug Sovereign, KCBS.
Breaking news on the Bay Area's news station, KCBS.
It's 12:03 at the Bay Area's news station, KCBS. We've got temperatures in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It is a dry day with a bit of wind and a red flag fire warning up. I'm Rebecca Corral. Governor Brown has declared a state of emergency in Sonoma, Napa, and Yuba counties, due to more than a dozen large wildfires. Cal Fire Chief Daniel Berlant says at least 1,500 homes and commercial buildings have been destroyed in wildfires that have ripped through the state's wine country.
These fires continue to grow this morning. In fact, we're battling 14 large wind-whipped wildfires across Northern California. Napa, Sonoma counties, the North Bay, really the area hardest hit. Over 60,000 acres have burned in these fires so far.
Now, the fires are burning throughout an eight-county swath, including Napa, Sonoma, and Yuba counties. An estimated 20,000 people have been evacuated. Most of the fire started at about 10 o'clock last night. Their causes are under investigation. Firefighters are concentrating on saving lives rather than saving the structures. One person in Mendocino County has died so far. No estimate yet on the number of people hurt and missing. The Office of Emergency Services will be assisting with the fires in Napa, Sonoma, and Yuba counties now that the governor has declared this state of emergency to help fight the fires.
This is really serious. It's moving fast. The heat, the lack of humidity, and the winds are all driving a very dangerous situation and making it worse.
Now, the governor says that with the emergency declaration, the National Guard has been mobilized. There will be mutual aid coming in from local counties and other states also participating as well. Crews fighting this historic series of Northern California fires say an air attack is their best bet. KCBS's Tim Ryan is live in Napa County. Tim?
Rebecca, there is word from CAL FIRE that fire crews at this point are frankly unable to halt this series of fires, unable to slow the forward progress. Napa County CAL FIRE Chief Barry Bierman tells us the best bet to begin to get ahead of the seven or more fires in Lake, Sonoma, and Napa counties is a massive and sustained air attack.
With the multiple fires, they're going to start prioritizing the different fires in this unit and where aircraft can be used based on visibility. But that is a top priority for this department in this county, is to get the air resources in here to assist us, because as of right now, with these conditions, we can't get in front of this fire and do anything about the forward progress.
Napa County itself has close to 50,000 acres burning, some of the worst damage in the pricey Silverado Country Club. Firefighters from all over the state are arriving to do battle, not only in these three counties, but also Butte, Yolo, Mendocino, Nevada, and more. Now, schools throughout Napa County are mostly closed. The air here is frankly rotten, and for the sick, the elderly, and the pregnant, dangerous. Adding to the stress level is a lack of cell service here. People simply unable to pick up a phone and call their loved ones to say, we're okay. And stunning to me as a reporter to think that the National Guard, the California National Guard, is called in an emergency situation to airlift burn victims and to deploy 100 MPs to help keep the peace. Absolutely just plain stunning news here in Northern California. Live in Napa County, Tim Ryan, KCBS.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Residents have been evacuated from the North Bay town of Glen Ellen because of the fires. KCBS's Todd Smoot is in that area and joins us now live. Todd?
Yeah, Rebecca, I'm here on the southern edge of the fire in Sonoma Valley, and the fire line is just north of Madrone Road, just south of Glen Ellen and south of the Sonoma Developmental Center. The fire stretches across the valley and goes up to the ridge to the west, where it's very active. It's burning very actively. In fact, I got a friend that lives up there, and his house is probably a third of a mile away. He said last night the winds were so heavy that it actually tore a chunk of his roof off. He said it was blowing like 60 miles an hour. So it doesn't take a genius to figure out that it probably knocked down a bunch of power lines, limbs in the power lines that sparked a lot of these fires. There was earlier today a very dramatic rescue at the Sonoma Developmental Center, where a number of the clients who are unable to move on their own, who are in wheelchairs, had to be moved from one half of the facility, which was actually on fire, across the road to the other. And the way they did that is a bunch of CHP officers, sheriff's officers, and other law enforcement people zoomed up in their cars, parked the cars, ran down, and manually pushed these folks in their beds and wheelchairs across the road. It was really amazing to see. this valley is closed all the way from this point northward almost to Santa Rosa. That's a 15-mile stretch. And I'm sure once the smoke clears and they start looking at the houses, they're going to be shocked at the number of homes that are destroyed.
Todd, we've been talking to you through the morning, and we haven't gotten a sense from everybody out there of the injuries. I mean, at first it looked like there were no deaths or injuries. Now we know that somebody's dead in Mendocino. We're not sure if there's more than that. And then, as Tim and as the fire folks mentioned, there are fire victims who are being airlifted to burn centers. Are you able to get any sense of where the injuries are coming from?
Well, you know, Rebecca, I was in Glen Ellen when the fire was jumping all around and starting in different places and burning homes. I did not see any active ambulance evacuations. I did notice that the town was pretty quiet, so people got the word and they got out, and I was forced to run. I was run out of town by the sheriff myself. But I did not see any real active ambulance work. I didn't see a lot of folks standing around. It just looked like they had a little bit of time and a little bit of warning, and they got out.
Yeah, that's what we hope. But we do know that they've had to medevac folks from the Army and Air National Guard has had to medevac victims to burn centers. We're trying to get more details on that. Todd, we'll stay in touch. Thanks for checking in. We're going to take you to Santa Rosa in a moment where the damage has been really huge. Right now, though, we'll break for a look at traffic with George Rask.
And we'll start with a look at the ride around Santa Rosa, where we still have a closure in effect of Highway 101. The Redwood Highway remains shut down, Rebecca, except to emergency vehicles. From north of College Avenue, at least Steel Lane, up to Shiloh Road. And there may be a short break in there just around between Airport Boulevard and Mark Springs West Road, but I wouldn't count on those. Highway 128 also still a problem. This is heading north of Woodleaf and Calistoga. It's been shut down from north of Tubbs Lane. And getting a look at the ride on Napa and 121, let's go to KCBS Instaview and Bob Pryor. This report brought to you by Firestone Complete Auto Care.
A couple of miles long closures in Napa County. Silverado Trail shut down between Tranca Street and Yountville Crossroad, and Highway 121 Monticello Road, that's closed between Silverado Trail and Wooden Valley Road.
For a complete list of closures, you can check us out on Twitter at KCBS Traffic, also Facebook at KCBS Traffic. Looking at the ride on 101 in and around San Francisco, no delays. The Bay Bridge is fine, and earlier occurring problems at the Richmond Bridge are gone. Come into Firestone Complete Auto Care. Get a $60 Firestone Visa prepaid card by mail when you purchase a set of four eligible Firestone tires. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. Your next update, 1218, the traffic leader. KCBS.
Sunny and breezy out there today. Highs in the 70s and 80s. Red flag fire warning, of course, in the North Bay and also the East Bay Hills. We've got smoke lingering all over the Bay Area from these fires up north. Clear and mild overnight. Warm and sunny again tomorrow. Traffic and weather together on the 8th on KCBS. KCBS News Time 1210. Fountain Grove area of Santa Rosa was hit hard by the fires burning in the North Bay. KCBS's Jeffrey Schaub has been there all morning long. He joins us now live. Jeffrey?
Well, Rebecca, I'm at a subdivision here called Deer Meadows, which is off of Fir Ridge Drive, which is not far from Fountain Grove Parkway, which is the main drag that comes up through this mountainous area, full of very, very nice homes. And in this area here, I'm looking at 7, 8, 9, 10 homes that literally have been completely destroyed. You can just imagine the intensity of this fire here. The only thing standing are chimneys or bouldered stanchions or that kind of a thing. There are cars up here that, you know, are charred out, as unfortunately you've seen in pictures of other major fires we've had around Northern California. There's a house over here that its pool is just full of debris, and there's nothing else really around it except more debris. And I drove along Fountain Grove Parkway for several miles, and there are a number of these, you know, roads that come off from it, and it's the same thing. I would venture to guess there are hundreds of homes up here, just based on what I've seen, that have been burned or you know, have just been destroyed. And this is an area, of course, where the fire just raced through here. And as you heard KCBS's Todd Smoot say a short while ago, that the fire started in Calistoga and came through the hills all the way to East Santa Rosa. Well, as he said,
that's about 15 miles. And you can imagine with homes and wineries and other structures along this area, there could be considerable damage. Reporting live in Santa Rosa, Jeffrey Schaub, KCBS.
Jeffrey, before we let you go, do you know if the hospitals in the area, which ones have been evacuated, which and if any have burned?
I do. Kaiser Hospital was evacuated overnight. I was actually there when they were taking people and putting them in ambulances and taking them out of the area. And also, Sutter Health has a facility up here. It's pretty new, actually, and that was evacuated, as well as a number of nursing homes and care facilities. There was an earlier report that Kaiser suffered burn damage or structural damage. They're saying that's not the case.
All right, Jeffrey, thanks very much, and we'll keep in touch with Jeffrey Schaub, who's been on this fire, various spots throughout the area, especially Santa Rosa, which has come under really, really heavy damage. Keep it tuned to KCBS. We'll be right back. Coming up on KCBS, roughly 60,000 acres and 1,500 structures have been burned in the North Bay after a number of fires broke out last night. We'll get the latest on the devastation in Santa Rosa and take a look at how the fires are impacting air quality throughout the region, as well as some of the facilities in the area that have been evacuated. Take a break. Catch up on sports with Steve Bicker.
Baseball playoffs continuing this afternoon and tonight. 4 o'clock today, Cleveland's Trevor Bauer, who threw 6 2/3 innings of shutout ball to win Game 1 against New York, will start Game 4 on 3 days rest against Game 1 loser Luis Severino. The Tribe leading 2-1, and Bauer is very pleased to be working on 3 days rest.
I enjoy pitching on short, I guess, what technical definition of short, but if I could draw it up personally, this is how I'd pitch every time. Take my normal 2 days recovery after my start and then do my day before routine today and then roll it out there tomorrow. So, yeah, I'm feeling very confident where I'm at.
From the Yanks-Cleveland series to the Dodgers in Arizona, meeting in Phoenix tonight at 7, Darvish against Greinke, L.A. looking for the 3-game series sweep. Miami Dolphins offensive line coach Chris Forster resigning this morning and releasing a statement saying he accepts full responsibility for his actions after a video was released showing him snorting what appears to be cocaine before a recent team meeting. The Dolphins head coach is Adam Gase.
Things happen sometimes that you don't anticipate and you have to deal with it. It's not fun, you know, especially when you're close to somebody. But you got to take the next step, move on, because we're going to play on Sunday.
And former Niners quarterback Y.A. Tittle has passed away at the age of 90. The Hall of Famer, part of the Niners' million-dollar backfield that featured Joe Perry, Hugh McElhenney, and John Henry Johnson, all Hall of Famers as well in the 1950s. Nice piece on Y.A. Tittle in today's Mercury News online by Daniel Brown. Sports at 15 and 45 on All News 106.9 and AM 740 KCBS.
CBS News Time 12:18. George Rask is on traffic.
And we'll start with road closures in the North Bay. 101 still shut down through Santa Rosa between Steel Lane and Shiloh Road. Highway 37 has been reopened between Vallejo and Novato Highway 101. But there are still closures for Highway 12, the Sonoma area, shut down in both directions between Watma and Big Bend, Arnold Drive. And Watma Road is shut down near Highway 12 due to trees and power lines that were down. And let's get another look at the ride north on Highway 12 as we go to KCBS Instaview and Bob Pryor. This report brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer.
I'm looking at the Glen Ellen area where we have Highway 12 and Arnold Road shut down north of Madrone Road.
And the Silverado Trail is also shut down, and that's north of Napa. You're going to find it closed through Oak Knoll in Yountville from Trancas and Oakville Cross. The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer is doctor recommended and backed by more medical studies than any other thermometer. Get yours at your local club warehouse or other fine retailer. Your next update, 12:28 on the traffic leader, KCBS.
6 day forecast now, sunny, breezy with lingering smoke around the bay. Highs in the 70s and 80s. We've got that red flag fire warning for the north and the east bay hills. Clear and mild overnight, warm and sunny again tomorrow. Our six-day forecast shows a little bit of cooling Wednesday through Saturday, 60s and upper 70s. Let's see if we can get a temperature readout now for the Bay. In San Francisco, it is 76 degrees, 75 in Oakland and Redwood City, 75 in Napa and San Jose, 77 in Mountain View and Hayward and Concord. Traffic and weather together on the 8s on All News 106.9 and AM 740 KCBS. KCBS News Time 12:20. The fires in the North Bay are impacting hospitals in the region. KCBS's Jenna Lane is live at Memorial Hospital in Santa Rosa, the regional trauma center. Jenna?
Rebecca, Memorial Hospital received about 60 patients overnight, two of them critical with burn injuries because of these wildfires. The rest of those injuries were minor to moderate. People have been treated in the ER and released. Memorial, as we've been reporting, also received transfers from two hospitals in Santa Rosa that needed to be evacuated because they were in the danger zone. That was Sutter and Kaiser. Six transfers came in from each of those places. Memorial, like all the other hospitals in this region, is busy now trying to discharge those patients without critical medical needs to make room for people who may be coming in with more serious conditions. Some of the transferred patients include expectant mothers. There are some patients in the neonatal intensive care unit. The scene here this morning is, however, very calm and very professional, even among the staff whose own homes and families are in danger. I just saw a nurse say goodbye to her family with a carload of dogs and duffel bags as she went back in to work. But there are some people showing up here who maybe don't need to come here. Kathy Hillenmeyer is a spokeswoman for Memorial Hospital and its sister facilities, Queen of the Valley in Napa and Petaluma Valley Hospital.
One thing we've seen at every one of them, including here at Memorial in Santa Rosa, is that we're receiving some evacuees who are coming because they don't have an immediate place to go. We would urge those evacuees who do not have an emergency medical need to please seek shelter at one of the many community sites that's been set up as an emergency shelter.
And, of course, keep it tuned to KCBS for the list of those shelters and their locations. The evacuation orders are now expanding to include Brush Creek Road and areas north, and the ambulances are standing ready at Memorial Hospital. There are about a dozen of them lined up, their crews just ready and waiting in case they are needed. Reporting live in Santa Rosa, Jenna Lane, KCBS.
Thank you, Jenna. Thousands of people have been evacuated. KCBS's Larry Cerrone is at an evacuation center, and he joins us live. Larry, are you in Santa Rosa?
We're in West Santa Rosa, Rebecca, at the Finley Center at the corner of West College Avenue and Stony Point Road. They're still accepting evacuees here. They're still trickling in, some in wheelchairs, some with pets, dogs and cats in their carriers and on leashes, and many people, of course, covering their mouths, actually wearing surgical masks because the ash is still coming down here. Yellow skies, very, very still, though, and not much of a breeze, but still people coming in from their evacuation zones. I'm here with Austin, who was evacuated early this morning out of Glen Ellyn. Can you tell us the harrowing experience you had?
Absolutely. Yeah, so my name's Austin, and I was in treatment at a treatment facility for addiction on Warm Springs Road with 30 other patients. It's kind of a more famous one. You may have seen their commercials, but I won't name it. So around 1:30 in the morning or so, we were all banging on each other's doors because the sheriff had come by and told us a mandatory evacuation. We need to go out of there as fast as possible. So everyone, you know, stuffed their suitcases and met in the dining room, and we did a head count. And the head of the facility was really in quite a state of panic and was, you know, gathering everybody up and doing head counts again and again and again, kind of compulsively. And
did you see the flames?
We could see a glow from the distance in every direction around us, so it was pretty scary because we didn't know which direction to drive right out. So that's what I'm getting to. So eventually, you know, I was kind of calm because I had evacuated from a fire earlier this summer up in Nevada County, and that was pretty nerve-wracking, but everything went well and nothing was that bad. But this was totally different. So we all, you know, stuffed our cars. There were six of us. We were scrambling to get our phones and keys and medications and things like that. And once we got in the cars, we drove about 2 minutes, and within 2 minutes, we were already seeing flames up close. We drove, and we were headed toward the center that we're at now, and we saw cars coming back the other way, and we thought, oh, that's not a good sign, that's not a good sign. So we went a little bit further, and we had to do a U-turn. And immediately everyone started to panic, thinking, you know, we're trapped because the flames are behind us. We had to drive into the flames. There were flames on both sides of the road, right up to the pavement. The wind was blowing over the road. It was like driving through a broiler. You couldn't see anything. Then the smoke got so thick, and you couldn't turn around. We couldn't hit the brakes. We were worried about rear-ending the car in front of us or being rear-ended ourselves. So we all just had to... You know, you couldn't see 5 feet in front of the car. It was so bright. It was nothing but flames. It was like being in a space shuttle, re-entering the atmosphere. It was so hot. The windows were squeaking and cracking. It was incredibly hot. You can't reach too much of your nose. And we looked at each other in the backseat of this car, and we're just like, this might be it. This might be it. And we had nothing to do but just explore it, and you couldn't see anything. It was just nothing but light and smoke, and you just hoped the road was underneath you. And after about a minute and a half of that, and just like absolutely white knuckling it, and our driver was great. He was so calm, and everyone else was panicking and telling him to turn around, but we knew that wasn't an option. So he was fantastic. His name's Scott, and he really was the man in a crisis. And so eventually, after a minute and a half of that kind of driving, just like poof, came out of the smoke, and then the flames were, you know, 50 feet back from the road or so. But everywhere we looked, every hillside was burning flames. You could see them, you know, just moving around. And
everybody in your party got okay?
Yeah, we were really worried about that. There were branches and trees falling and embers exploding everywhere, and we couldn't see the car behind us. You could barely see the car ahead of us. Sometimes it would disappear. Sometimes you could see the taillights. And we all got separated and met up about an hour and a half later, but it was nerve-wracking every minute, just hoping the next car showed up, because we were certain almost that somebody wasn't going to make it, but fortunately everybody showed up and was accounted for. It was the scariest thing that ever happened to me.
Austin getting evacuated from Glen Ellyn early this morning, and Rebecca, I just can't... emphasize enough that if people are in a state of where do I go, they need to go to their local shelters. As Jenna mentioned earlier, some are getting very crowded, but still come here just to get registered and to talk to people to see if they can help them in their situation.
Larry, thanks very much. That's Larry Schirone reporting live from Santa Rosa with just an amazing story of escape and crisis. We have people stationed, our reporters stationed all over the North Bay, and they've been on the move as well. We'll get back to more of them shortly. First, we'll have traffic after this. CBS News Time 12:28. George Raskas, traffic sponsored by Armanino, helping CFOs do less accounting and more strategizing.
Things are still jammed up in the North Bay with 101 shut down through Santa Rosa between Steel Lane and Shiloh Road. Westbound 37 is open, but we continue to get reports of little spot fires in and around 37 and 121. Also, Lakeville is open technically, but the CHP is requesting that it only be used for emergency vehicles, but it is a possible route out of the county. Watmaw Road still shut down near Highway 12, and we have the closure of Bennett Valley Road at the golf course heading east. 128 still closed leaving Napa from Petrified Forest Road, and we're getting report of a car fire now on Interstate 580 out near the Altamont Pass near Greenville Road. Your next update, 12:38 on the Traffic Leader, KCBS.
Sunny and breezy today with lingering smoke all over the Bay Area. Highs in the 70s, pretty soon some 80s. Red flag fire warning for the north and the east Bay Hills because of winds, and more of the same expected tomorrow. Traffic and weather together on the 8s on KCBS.
CBS. Breaking news on the Bay Area's news station, KCBS.
It's Monday, October 9th, 2017. Fires have ripped through the North Bay, burning roughly 60,000 acres and some 1,500 structures. At least one person is confirmed dead. 20,000 residents have been evacuated. Good afternoon. I'm Rebecca Corral. The first order of business in dealing with the fires in Sonoma and Napa counties has been evacuating residents to safety. Kem Pimlott, director of CAL FIRE, says so far more than 1,500 homes and commercial businesses have been destroyed.
As we speak right now, over 14 major fires burning across eight counties, from Mendocino, Lake, Sonoma, Napa, across the valley to Yuba, Nevada, and into Butte.
The focus right now is getting the fires contained. Meanwhile, the California National Guard says they've deployed three medevac helicopters to transport victims to burn centers throughout Northern California. With flames still visible, KCBS reporter Curtis Kim joins us live from downtown Santa Rosa, where many structures are total loss. Curtis?
Well, Rebecca, part of the massive destruction could be summed up at the corner of Fountain Grove Parkway and Mendocino Avenue. On one corner, what used to be the Hilton Hotel, reduced to rubble, and the apartment complex is on the hill behind the structure, still burning. In fact, I can look over and still see the flames. Catty corner to the Hilton Hotel, the Journey's End Mobile Home Park, completely gone. 61-year-old Jory Mostovov lived there for 16 years.
Nobody knock on the door. Nobody tell you this. I don't know. It's terrible. Just 1 second and we lose everything. You see, all mobile home park. And I don't know where is my cat.
57-year-old Kathy Johnson woke up this morning to flames. She has lived at the mobile home park for 7 years.
I looked out the window and the whole area around here was glowing red. And I didn't see any light flame, but it was glowing red. And so I woke Frank up and told him, come on, we got to get up. There's fire all around us. They're evacuating us.
Now, most of the mobile home park sits in ruin, totally burned out. And asking the mobile home residents who have been displaced, most of them say they have no idea where they're going to spend the night. Live in downtown Santa Rosa, Curtis Kim, KCBS.
All right, thanks very much, Curtis. Marin County has opened an overflow shelter for fire evacuees at the Civic Center in San Rafael. KCBS's Margie Schaefer joins us live to report hundreds of evacuees in ash-covered cars and minivans have arrived there. Margie?
Rebecca, streams of people are arriving here with kids, with pets, after a harrowing night. Nayeli Reyes, her three kids and husband, received a startling wake-up call, a knock at the door from a neighbor being told to leave as flames were visible.
We've been driving ever since, like, midnight.
Just driving around?
Driving around. We went all the way to Sevastopol. There was no vacancy anywhere. Went to Petaluma, Werner Park.
Her trunk is filled with toys from her four-year-old's Peppa the Pig birthday party yesterday, but she's still not sure if her Montecito Boulevard apartment building is still standing. Many are coming here having received an emergency alert on their phone about the shelter opening. Some, like Jorge Leyva, couldn't fill up the gas tank because those near him in Rincon Valley in Santa Rosa are without electricity. He hugged his teary-eyed wife, Erica.
You know for sure that some of the homes 10 minutes away are already level, complete level. So we're hoping for the best.
There is space at this evacuation center for 2,000 people where the exhibit hall is being opened to accommodate cots and to serve food and water. Some civilian volunteers with kids in tow, as this is Columbus Day and the kids don't have school, are bringing water and diapers and sticker books for other kids. They were turned away for volunteer opportunities, though the donations were accepted. Live in San Rafael, Margie Schaefer, KCBS.
All right, thank you, Margie. Wineries are among the structures that have burned in the North Bay. KCBS reporter Doug Sovereign joins us live with that part of our team coverage. Doug?
Yeah, Rebecca, I'm amidst several highly threatened wineries right now. This is Yountville, Stags Leap, Yountville area along Silverado Trail. And what's happened here is the Atlas Peak Fire, which is the huge fire that burned so much of the Silverado Road area. This is separate from the Tubbs Fire Complex that burned into Santa Rosa. The Atlas Peak Fire has moved north and west and has actually jumped Silverado Trail in a couple of spots. And there are vineyards on the hill that are burning, and it's burning down into Yountville. The wind has died down a little bit, so hopefully Yountville itself, I wouldn't say, is actually threatened. I'm watching the Poetry Inn, which is an old inn up on the hill overlooking Yountville. It was evacuated already. And when I first got here a couple hours ago, it seemed safe, but the fire just whooped over this ridge.
Okay. Once again, we're losing touch with Doug Sovereign. I guess we're having cell phone problems. But some of our reporters there say that the Verizon service is spotty, AT&T service is spotty. So I'm not sure if this is directly related to the fires, if they've lost any cell towers. We'll continue to try and get more information on that and bring you our reporters as they check in live. You can see some of the pictures. The reporters have been able to get some pictures up for us. They're on our Instagram and Twitter feeds at KCBS News. It's 12:36 at KCBS.